It's your podcast.
Fine, I'll be a host. Welcome to Dome Theory. We're back. Relaunched the pod on Monday, and we're back on Wednesday. So that is consistency, gentlemen. Group chat edition. You might know some of these guys. They've been on sporadically over the years. Wendo now is gone. So I'll start with Taylor McLeod, former producer of the show, regular host, regular appearance, regular host of the old Celtics postgame show that we did here on Blog Talk Radio back in the day, pre-pandemic. Welcome in, Taylor.
Thank you, Bob.
And Nate, his co-host, both of them host the Cap podcast on Old Milk Media. I'll throw a link to that in the description. They've been back at it reviewing albums. Not much going on, Nate. This has probably been the worst year ever.
Already with the hyperbole. No. 2019 and 2018 with like a word.
I'm getting Mundo out of here. Hold on. There we go.
That's crazy.
Oh, he's back.
He went to go tie up his
He's trying to outdo me with funny hats.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Can I get a real real talk, Lindo, you gotta like speak in a Texas accent the whole time. I don't want to hear your real voice at all.
Here's Lindo Zay, who has the greatest nickname ever, and also the, I don't know, was it self-proclaimed? Because if it was, that was very smooth what you did making that your nickname.
You know, some things just play out how they play out.
I like it.
I can't get a yeehaw partner.
He's coming to us from Texas A&M. So, Lindo and I didn't enjoy this game. I don't know what you were watching, Nate. It was okay.
I was watching the coronation of the league's best player.
So this is silly. 30 points. What was it? 32 in the end?
30-20-10, something like that. It's 30-20-10. Yeah. And I don't know if Jamal Murray did it because I left with like 30 seconds left, but he was one rebound away from having a 30-point triple-double. Oh, he did it? Good for him. Two Denver Nuggets players with 30-point triple-doubles, and we are watching history, guys.
It's silly. I mean, this is Wilt Chamberlain stuff. I mean, I didn't expect it. I didn't think these numbers would keep flying up into the playoffs, but he was doing them in other postseasons, so I guess it shouldn't be that unexpected. Lindo, we talked about it.
Now you acknowledge that he's doing it in other postseasons.
Well, they were losing before. Now they're winning.
Anyway. That's not rehashing.
No, we said this was the year he was going to start hearing some noise this year if they didn't win, because he had the roster, because they had the team, because he's going for three straight MVPs, which he probably deserved looking back on it. We'll get to that in a minute, Nate. Credit to him. I mean, they got to seal this off, but all he's done is just storm through these playoffs and put up these crazy stats every night, but it's also impactful. I mean, that third quarter was ridiculous. He's just tossing up prayers, Lindo, and they're reining in. You saw this as a Lakers fan last round.
Now, what Bobby's leaving out is he judged Jokic based on the quality of Campazzo and Austin Rivers as starters.
Big facts.
And he said, this guy can't do it with this team, and that's who was out there. And now it's just we're seeing him when he has real help. He's got a full squad, all healthy, and unstoppable.
First time in 2 years they've been fully healthy too, by the way, in the playoffs at least.
It helps. Taylor, are you surprised they're here? I am a little bit.
No, I'm not surprised they're here. But, I mean, we said it, talked about it. Everyone talks about it. Jokic just throws up shots and they all go in. Like, he goes chest to chest with defenders, just like going through limbs, going through whatever, and then just puts it in one hand, throws it at the rim, and it goes in. It's unbelievable.
He just rolls it up and in. He's going through contact. He's knocking guys out of the way. The shot's on point from distance, too. And he's making the passes. I mean, I don't know, Nate, how he gets to 10 every night, especially in a game like this where it still feels like the Heat are trying to make him score. But he's still getting the 10 assists.
You're going to make me have an Eric Spoelstra moment. Okay, so the reality of the situation is Nikola Jokic is a three-level scorer who can score literally whenever he wants. If he literally did not have any basketball IQ, he could drop 30 in his sleep, but he does, and that is the reason why he's so great, because of his passing ability. So in reality, all he does is really take what the defense gives him. If the shot is open, as he said, I open, I score. If I'm not open, I pass the ball, and that's what he does. Yeah, we're watching one of the most perfect offensive players in NBA history.
He's perfect. There's no doubt about it. But you were someone who wanted to give Embiid the MVP.
Okay. So I said this last time, actually. Nate
has his favorites, and when one falls down, he goes to the next. That's as simple as it is.
I said this on my last appearance on this fine program that Embiid and Jokic are about the same in terms of overall quality. It just depends on what you want. If you prefer passing, you should take Jokic. If you prefer defense, you should take Joel Embiid. That being said, I think that the gap between Joel Embiid's defense and Jokic's defense is much smaller than the gap between Jokic's passing and Joel Embiid's passing. So that's what I have to offer here. Jokic is going to be finals MVP, most likely. He's a two-time MVP. He deserves it. Again, he's one of the most perfect offensive players we've ever seen. One thing that is really underrated about him is how he dominates the game rebounding. As we saw tonight, 20 rebounds, or was it 21? Either way, 21. Thank you, Zay. So either way,
stat keeper.
Yeah, I mean, well, either way, we're looking at one of the best players of all time. We'll probably get to that point if once he seals this off. But yeah, I'm not surprised at all. The only thing that is an issue is they paid Michael Porter Jr. so much money, and he only had 2 points tonight.
I was waiting for someone to bring him up. Man, has he stunk?
Yeah, I don't understand the contract at all, honestly. Like, I get it. He's supposed to be automatic offense, but if he's going to have spurts like this where, honestly, he's been non-existent this whole finals. I've forgotten that he's on the court.
That is one thing that's keeping the series pretty close is they've been shaky defensively, and they had one of those games, Taylor. It almost reminded me of the Celtics. We didn't show up. We didn't have energy. I don't know how many times I've heard that from the Celtics over the last couple of years. But to hear the Nuggets say it with how dominant they've been this postseason was shocking. And I don't know, is it just what we talk about I guess. I don't know how all you feel about the Heat, but every night I go into it, and I finally relented a couple games ago after seeing what they've done all the way up until this point. But I didn't know why. I don't know how. I've just been so perplexed and confused by this whole Heat thing. So I'm wondering if these teams are going into it too, even Denver after game one and just saying, we got this, and just trying to breeze through game two, and they got caught off guard. Because tonight it was more locked in, and they just kind of held the Heat at arm's length for almost the whole game, at least the whole second half.
Bobby, we got some good trade ideas going on in chat right here. We got trade Jaylen for Jimmy, trade Tatum for LeBron, and then they'll bring us Banner 18.
Hold on. All right, Jaylen for Jimmy. Deal?
Oh, and then we're going to package Jimmy and LeBron to get Tatum back a few years after that. Damn. Yo, VT's playing chess.
First of all,
Tatum for LeBron. So it's going to be Jimmy and LeBron. Hold on. Write this down, Linda. And then it's going to be
LeBron.
Jimmy and LeBron will win the championship next year.
Yes.
All right. You got that? And then trade them both to get Tatum back
exactly.
In a few years.
Yeah, so he can live out his Laker dreams for a couple years and then, you know, come back.
I honestly
we needed that.
Bobby, I honestly feel like you would rather the Red Sox buy the Celtics.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's one of Nate's weirdest group chat.
This still doesn't make any predictions.
Is that the Red Sox going to buy the Celtics?
I'm only doing it strictly to torture you.
Taylor and I had a Red Sox conversation before we got on here. We'll save that from you guys from that because I don't think anyone wants to hear about them right now. But I don't know, Linda, you got anything more out of the series, out of this game so far? Because I know you guys haven't gotten to talk about the series at large in here. And honestly, it's been pretty good. I've enjoyed it overall so far more than I thought I would. I told you I wasn't even going to watch it, Linda, when it came together. And it's pulled me in enough at least to watch.
Last night is how I feel like we're going to watch the next two games, where the Heat struggle the whole way through, And then when the Nuggets have played 40 plus minutes, every one of the starters, then they say, okay, who can throw up a prayer and try and get a shot? Let's try and go on a run. And the team that defeats the Heat will be the Heat ultimately when they show they can't keep up with them. Even at 40 minutes, even as they're dead tired, they've been running the floor the whole way, they can't keep up, and they just don't have enough shooters. And it just seems like Jimmy Butler, for all the talk of playoff Jimmy and the guy that he is, he spams this same move where he's cutting in from the right side, trying to do a jump over two players, or he's trying to get 40 different mismatches, so he's on a smaller guy and still ends up passing out. He shot well enough tonight. I think he was something like 11 of 22. But, man, for the guy who's supposed to be all that, I mean, all-time level playoff performances, he just seems like another part of the team, not necessarily the guy leading them all the way through. He's not really facilitating. He's just passing sometimes.
And that's a problem for him throughout the course of the year. I don't know, though. Tonight I thought he was decent.
Zay just sounded the most broadcasty out of all of us.
It was a good first take.
You got to do what you got to do.
First take of the night.
Dog.
Jimmy is not getting it done.
When they do the top 100 in 24 years and they have all the guys out there and putting the jackets on them and Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent and Max Strus all put one on together and Jimmy's on the sideline, like, that's, you know what I mean? Playoff Jimmy. I don't know if it exists.
Don't forget Duncan Robinson.
You know what I'm happy I didn't see? I didn't see after this game a Jimmy Butler smile. So we all predict, oh, he'll really start playing next game. Why is it always he has to play next game? Why isn't it he played this game? He's like so turned off by this game, he's got to show up next game.
What are we talking about now? 7-8 games where he hasn't gone off quite the way we saw early in the playoffs. I mean, he could be hurt.
I don't know if it's quite that many. I mean, he showed up at the end of game two. It looked like he was trolling most of the game. I think he was like 5 of 15 at one point, something like that. So he shows up in spurts, but, you know, for the guy who's playoff Jimmy, you kind of got to play through the four quarters. It's not like Jokic is playoff Jokic and he plays for 10 minutes.
He's just playoff Jim.
He's missing my. I don't even know where to.
He's playoff Jim.
Taylor, that's
crazy.
He that lost mine.
He had 28. He had 28 and 4 tonight. Game two, he had 21 and 9. Game one, 13 and 7. 28 in the game 7 against Boston. 24 in game 6. I mean, it's good. It's not great. I think that's what you're trying to say, right? He hasn't had 30 since game 1 against Boston.
I mean, additionally, understanding how much help Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, like all these other random my players that the Miami Heat have, like they just didn't show up. You have Gabe Vincent with 7 points, 2 of 10 shooting, Max Strus 1 of 7 shooting, Bam Adebayo 7 for 21 shooting, which is insane, even though he had 22 and 17.
Jimmy's shooting 40% since game 1 against Boston, last 9 games.
But Jimmy isn't really – Jimmy is so weird because he's not a superstar. He is the best player on the team. I think he's just a closer. I think from in the first 3 quarters, it's really more about the other guys. It's really more about Martin, Vincent, Strus, Duncan Robinson now, who's getting minutes. Kevin Love is apparently getting minutes now. It's really more about those guys, Bam Adebayo. And then if you keep it close, I think the goal for Miami is to keep it close. And then when you get to the fourth quarter, last 6 minutes of fourth quarter, it's clutch time. That's when Jimmy shows up. And this game in particular, they didn't really do that for Jimmy to really have his playoff Jimmy heroics like, I guess, normal. But, yeah, I think to just say Jimmy Butler is trash, so because of that, that's why the Heat lost, is I think that's an oversimplification of what really happened.
Yo, one of the comments says, Bobby tries out so many facial hair looks. Respect on the effort.
It's true. I'm trying out a beard right now. I don't know if I'm going to get there, but I haven't tried in a long time.
In response to Nate, you know, closer sounds a lot like clutch to me, that term, because clutch is like they show up right when the team needs them. But
they've been an incredible clutch team this year, though.
They show up when they need them, because when they needed them for the first part of the game, they didn't show up.
Yeah.
So I don't like clutch or closer. How about he not be a closer, and how about he just be good the whole game, so they don't need him to try and score 10 points in 2 minutes in the fourth quarter every game?
I mean, we're talking about a guy who realistically isn't a top 15 player in the league. I think that's too much to ask.
Was he all NBA this year?
Yes, second team.
I don't understand.
That means he's top 10 even.
He's not top 10.
Okay. Oh, you got voted that.
Let me just put this disclaimer out. I don't care. Luka Doncic should not be a first team all NBA player because he missed the playoffs. Jimmy Butler, I don't understand how he's an all NBA player either. He plays really good defense, but the Miami Heat were a train wreck the whole regular season.
He's not a third team player either.
No.
Name the six guards better than Jimmy.
Markkanen?
Are you serious?
LeBron was in there, right? Durant.
Let me pull up this list. Jalen Brunson.
Name the six.
Jalen Brunson over.
No, Butler was in as a forward.
As a forward?
Yeah.
Okay, name the six forwards better than Jimmy Butler.
Jason Tatum.
Yes,
he's third team.
Jason Tatum. See, now I gotta go all the way.
The other
back.
One was Giannis.
How about this? You guys talk about something else while I formulate my list so that we don't waste time.
It was Tatum, Giannis, Butler, Brown, and then the third team was Randall and who's the other third team guy? Wasn't Markkanen. It was LeBron. LeBron snuck in there. So I don't know. KD
Nate's gonna tell us that Giannis is like top 30 outside looking in.
KD, Kawhi, George were the like main guys left out. Markkanen too.
Why are you going so hard for Markkanen? I'm not saying Markkanen.
He's there.
That's not gonna happen. Take him? No, I'm not picking him.
What team would be the question for Nate?
What'd you say?
I said, on what team? I mean, there's so many teams. He could surely fit somewhere for you.
Markkanen?
He's in over Randall, that's for sure. I mean, the funny thing about Randall is he's on All-NBA two of the last 3 years, but everyone talks like he's the worst player ever.
Did you not watch the Heat series?
I know, but he was All-NBA two of the last 3 years.
The last time we saw him, he was malfunctioning against the Miami Heat, a team that realistically he should be the best player on the court for.
He did have ankle surgery, by the way.
The Heat have had three series in a row when the other team had the best player in the series.
And the best player malfunctioned each time.
We're all trying to figure out what
the second best player in that Celtics series.
debatably the first best player, depending on if Jason Tatum wants to show up or not.
We're all trying to figure out what the hell happened here after the Celtics lost in seven to the Heat.
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question, VT. Is James Harden going to leave Philadelphia? Where is Nate going
to
be a fan?
I do want to get to that.
But I said, Nate's got so many teams to choose for this forward to land. I mean, he could be anywhere.
We should do the decision. We should do the decision for Nate this summer. Have him sit in the ring and be like, you know, this fall, I'm taking my talents to wherever James Harden goes.
To be honest, I think he's staying.
Let me toss we're talking about right now. Let's just do it. Yeah, Harden is reportedly picking or mulling or torn between, whatever you want to put it.
How is he, first of all, I don't believe that, because how is he torn and free agency hasn't started yet?
He's torn.
Like, why are we talking about free agency during the NBA finals?
You want him to wait till July 1st?
Yes. It's the NBA. It's literally the reason why we watch basketball. The NBA.
Said, my guy's too emotionally
and we're talking
strong.
About, and we're talking about James Harden, Zion Williamson, and everything else going on. Like, what are
Nuggets
we doing, guys?
Nuggets won game two, and we're talking about Mariah Mills.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask the Celtics fan here, Taylor.
Okay.
Does this matter at all?
What?
This, whether he's going to choose the Sixers or the Rockets.
Oh, no.
We go. We'll see you next week. I mean, I actually agree with Taylor. If he goes back to Philly, great. It seems like they're a second-round team. If he doesn't, I don't know, maybe they're a first-round team at that point, but it's not a huge difference.
A very interesting stat. in the Boston Celtics series, James Harden had more 40-point playoff games in that series than Joel Embiid has had his whole entire playoff career.
Oh, so we're gonna play another. We're gonna play another blame game in Philly.
No, it's not. I mean, realistically, like, no trolling. If Joel Embiid actually shows up as an MVP, they win game six.
He was hurt. He was.
You see how he picks it, Zay? You see how he picks and chooses when being hurt is an actual excuse?
Well, Bobby, just to say, and I agreed with you.
If you show up and play, you're judged, right?
Here's the thing. I agreed with you, but when Harden showed up hurt for the Nets and he played bad, you said, well, he showed up to play. Correct.
You're right. You're right.
Now you're saying that doesn't count for Embiid?
It was just stunning to me to watch Harden in key fourth quarters throughout the series give them absolutely nothing, like zero.
It
wasn't stunning, but it was just
– I agree that James Harden didn't play as well as he should have, but let's not act like Joel Embiid played like he was the MVP, dropping 40 points and 15 rebounds. Like,
they're both bad.
Game 7 Harden –
I'll take that.
Game 7 Harden was a minus 30 on 3 of 11 shooting.
And what was Joel Embiid? Joel Embiid, I don't even remember.
Embiid was minus 28.
If I'm remembering that game correctly, Joel Embiid multiple times did not even get to the spots that he was supposed to get to and took shots that he doesn't usually take. Like, what is he doing?
0 for 4 from 3. And it's just a mess. And I don't know what they're going to do because if Harden leaves, they can't really replace him. When are you going to get Van Fleet?
That's hilarious.
That sounds like a horrible idea.
I don't understand the Van Fleet hype all of a sudden. Like, he's a great player.
No, he's not.
He is. He's a champion. He's a champion. He had one bad season, and that was last season. Let me not say great. He's a good player.
Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't hate him being on my team. Once every 5 years, he's an all-star.
But it wouldn't be your team anymore.
Probably not. But still, my point is that Van Fleet is a fine player, but acting like he can potentially replace Harden with the way that James Harden and Joel Embiid work together is just dumbassery.
Nate is a guy that's 20-7 and shoots 39% from the field, 34% on 8 threes a game. He's worth $30 million, 20-7 to shoot like that.
If Michael Porter Jr. is worth the max, then I'd say that player is worth the super max.
To shoot under league average from three, and significantly from the field.
If I'm comparing it to Michael Porter Jr. or Rudy Gobert, yes.
Just the light skin guys. There are other players in the league. Like, it's not just two light skin guys.
Okay, let me throw in Julius Randle in there, so I can have the full
Julius
representation.
Julius Randle's better than Fred VanVleet.
I'm torn on what they should do here, right? Because I agree with Lindo that the Van Fleet stuff just it shouldn't happen.
No, I'd rather have Fred Van Fleet over Julius Randle.
No, we're debating Harden versus Van Fleet. Who cares about Randle?
Well, Zay just said that Randle is better than Fred Van Fleet, and I don't think that's true. Or I don't know how much I believe that.
He was last year. That's all you can really say. Maybe generally, I don't know. It's closer, but
Jalen Brunson's better than both of them. I think we can agree. We can all agree on that.
So I think I know what Harden's doing here. He's probably just looking for the max money from Philadelphia. And if he can get that, of course, he's going to take it. I believe he can sign a 4-year deal worth $210 million or so. So he's taking a significant pay cut to go to Houston, but it would still be more than if the Sixers don't want to offer him the max, what they're potentially offering there. He's also going to hit 38 on this deal. So there's like a weird contractual thing where the last year would have to be kind of non-guaranteed. So the money's a little more front loaded, but you're stuck.
Realistically, like the Sixers.
If you want to stay in contention, you need to keep them.
The Sixers cannot but this get contract a better could be play guard than James Harden.
Yeah,
that is just fact.
And but aren't you worried that this could become a Russ style contract by the end of it?
What does that even mean?
Russ on the Lakers.
you mean the team that got a player who is one of the best players of all time and didn't surround him with the tools that he needed? What do you,
you mean LeBron and Anthony even, Davis?
How is that even Anthony Davis, who all of a sudden couldn't shoot from three?
There was a lot of blame to go around that year, but I'm just talking about the contract.
So why bring up Russ in the first place? That doesn't make any sense.
Because he's a declining player. You could
bring up Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a declining player who's about to get cut.
Yeah, they're all in the same boat.
Paul is comparable, right, because he's pushing 38. Yes. Either way.
He's the oldest of that
X-player, I won't strike a personal nerve with Nate. X-player who's older, who's making a gazillion dollars, and really just isn't looking like himself anymore. Because it already started with Harden a little bit.
The reason why Harden doesn't look like himself is because he doesn't score as efficiently as he used to. But he's still a top five playmaker in the league, and that's really his role on the team. I said it all season that I didn't even consider James Harden as a second scoring option. Ideally, it should be Tyrese Maxey who's the second scoring option after Joel Embiid.
And that's a tricky thing, too. I think it's Maxey's time. I don't know if you're ready to hand the keys over to him, but
I don't think he's ready to be a primary ball handler, but he can score. And that's why I think he should be the second primary option.
If this was your team, Lindo, what are you doing?
Selling Embiid. You no longer trust the process.
So you're going rebuild.
Not necessarily. I think you could get a lot for Embiid, and if Harden works with you, try and sign and trade that off. Maybe he does it. Maybe he just goes to the Rockets and he just gets paid fully there, declines the player option. But if you could, I think you get a lot for both of them. And you've got a strong team outside of them. You've already got a bunch of pieces.
I kind of like that idea too. Especially where you haven't won this whole time. And think of how much you could get from the Knicks or even the Blazers. I think they would get super aggressive at this point for Embiid. It's just, it's so hard to hit that sell button.
Well, we don't know what Dame is doing yet. So we don't even know that part. He's playing so coy because he really wants to identify with this not running from the grind thing where he's like, oh, I might get forced out of Portland. Meanwhile, he's in those rooms like, okay, Mavs, Rockets.
That was so weird what he did today. I want to talk about Chris Paul, too, before we get out of here, because I know you guys will love that. But first, shout out to FanDuel, the official wagering partner, CLNS Media, FanDuel.com/Boston. Go over there. You're going to get a $1,000 no-sweat bet. And hopefully, Lindo, our viewers understand betting a little bit better than our friend Dan, who... I offered, what was it, $38? It was like a plus 380, so I offered him like $38 on a $10 bet or something like that, and he said, that's terrible.
I just laid down a 40-piece parlay with my $1,000 bet from FanDuel.
Yeah, and you can do that. No sweat. It's going to come right back into your account if you miss on that first try. It is for first-time users. Game 4, Denver's 3.5-point favorites down in Miami. They are now -1200 in the series. So FanDuel is going all in on the Nuggets being super favorites again. That means you can get the Heat at +750, which is just ridiculous. There is zero belief in Miami still in Vegas to this point. None against Boston, none against New York, none against Milwaukee, but you can now get them at 750 over there, and you can get no sweat. $1,000 when you make your first deposit at FanDuel.com/Boston. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. I was pretty shocked at this today, that the Suns are going to waive Chris Paul. They're paper thin. I know you guys don't like them across the board here. Taylor, you're not a Paul guy either, are you?
I'm pretty impartial on Chris Paul. I don't hate him. I think CP0 is very funny, though.
So he gets waived. They're going to eat $15 million to get rid of him. I don't know why they're doing that.
That's not official.
They are also trying to figure out if they can find trade partners for him, or it seems like this is like plan C.
Yeah. Right. I think a team would want to trade for him, right? Because he's $30 million, but it's expiring, so you get off $30 million after. We talked about Linda. I don't think it makes sense for the Lakers to trade for him. You're just giving up too much. And I guess after that, you're kind of running short on options. Like, could they get Kyle Lowry from him or something?
Any team, Kyle Lowry.
I don't really see a Chris Paul trade working out in general. Kyle because Lowry. I would hope that
this is what we're talking about.
But like, I would hope if the Phoenix Suns are smart, they use the money they get from getting rid of Chris Paul to actually have a roster. And
I don't know.
You're going to trade Chris Paul as a way for another team to get off of a bad contract. I don't see how that helps Phoenix at all.
Did you say Kyle Lowry?
He did say Kyle Lowry.
Do you have a better player that they could trade him for?
And additionally, I think unless Devin Booker is getting ready to be a point guard, they need playmaking because I don't want Kevin Durant or Devin Booker having
the ball. That's why I'm so shocked at this. Why are they just trying to get rid of, I know it didn't go well last year, but you gave it, what, 15 games? And I know Paul struggled, but he's still a good playmaker.
So, dude, he's like, how old is he? 38?
He's 38 this year.
He's 38. He missed half the season. He didn't play great when he was there. I don't know. Run what back?
Just you want Lowry?
Stop saying
Why is Lowry the only option?
Stop saying Kyle Lowry.
Because you're not going to get anything.
Nate, because that's how low he actually thinks of Chris Paul. He's saying the only thing you could get is Kyle Lowry.
He is because of the contract.
It's the only thing you can get.
He's projecting a little bit.
I don't know. How do you feel about this, Taylor? People want him in Boston now if he gets waived.
I mean, it would have to be a very insignificant contract for them to take on that. And I think Lindo's point is probably the most important. He's obviously a basketball genius. You can talk about the Chris Paul curse, but
Lindo or Chris Paul?
Shit, both. No, but
I have a ring.
He is an injury liability, and the older he gets, it's not going to get better.
And so
there's no sense in bringing him to a team that has aspirations that are much higher than. All right, he gets hurt, 20 games in the season. It's like, well, wait till old man Chris Paul gets back. Like, they can't be in that situation.
I do think in an ideal world, Chris Paul helps the Celtics because you guys need playmaking and he gives you that.
Yeah, but 38-year-olds don't – that's not
– I did say an ideal world. Yeah, I did say an ideal world.
I hate depending on him. I really do.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give him the Udonis Haslam role. Pay him $30 million to, sit on the bench.
It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like when Celtics fans wanted Danny Ainge to move for him, when the Clippers did, like obviously I was young, but I was all in, like because Chris Paul was Chris Paul at that point. But at this point, like I've seen a lot of Celtics fans being like, he would be the guy who could unlock everything. And I'm like, I don't know.
Even a couple years ago. So when the Rockets traded him, they had to give up picks to get rid of him, right? It was seen as a bad contract. And then he went to the Thunder, helped them make the playoffs. Pushed the Rockets 7 games round one. They barely escaped. And then he goes to the Suns first year. They trade him for Kelly Oubre or something stupid like that. And then they make the finals right away in Phoenix.
Then
and
he got addicted.
He's cured. He's cured now.
All I'm saying is he's won, not championships, but he's won games everywhere he's gone. And
what does he want?
The same way we talk about all these other players who are ringless is the same way we're going to talk about Chris Paul.
He's been to the finals and pushed a 2-0 lead.
Are you serious?
That's 2 wins from a champion.
Are you actually serious right now? Like what are we doing? What are we doing?
Hang up. Lost a series lead in the finals.
Let's be real.
Typical Chris Paul fashion, by the way. That's on brand.
The Hornets years, they just weren't good enough. The Rockets years.
Wait, no, hold on. What about the Clippers years?
Oh, the Clippers years, you do have to assess.
Skip over that, right? Okay.
The Clippers years are the most important years.
They are.
Where he never made the Western Conference Finals.
Never.
They were up 3-1 in the second round.
They were routinely seen as finals contenders, by the way.
That was a crushing meltdown.
Wiped him off the map.
I will never forget sitting there like that team was about to advance, and Blake Griffin was doing like a 360 layup, and it was like, this is. I think Tirico was like, whoa, and then Josh Smith just started raining down threes moments later.
Yeah, I'm in the first round that year. They gutted out a win over San Antonio.
Yeah.
In the first round that year, and I thought they were real.
Chris Paul hit the shot to send them to the next round.
And he was super hurt too. And then Blake got hurt trying to get the rebound from that shot. He jumped up over, got flipped up on his over the pile or whatever, landed on his back. So you had your two best players hurt. Chris Paul missed games that next series because of that too.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Even when he was young and in his prime, he was getting hurt in big moments.
Yeah, and it's that hamstring now.
That's why we call it curse ball.
Yeah, I'm out on him.
Zero.
I'm out on him for the Celtics. I think he can help the Lakers though. Window off the bench. There's no.
He'd have to be. He'd have to literally be a minimum player.
Why? Yeah, Celtics fan Bobby Manning concerned about helping the Lakers?
Bobby's not a Celtics fan.
He's a Lakers fan.
I am still dreaming.
Bobby's not a Celtics fan.
Can I dream for one more year?
Your dream of the Celtics is over.
Finals.
You're the blow it up guy with the Celtics. What are you dreaming of?
Can I field for my Celtics guy? And I do want to get to trivia.
He's dreaming of trading Jaylen Brown for Laurie Markkanen.
Taylor. Oh, Bobby, wait, before you get to that, Bobby was thinking of bringing the Celtics back to their 50s, 60s glory. He's saying he needs more white guys on that team. So Laurie Markkanen was saying bring back Tice.
Daniel
now
Tice.
Now we're talking about getting Markkanen over there.
And trade for Tyler Hero, too.
He's not exactly white, but, you know, looks white. So until he speaks, and then you're like, oh, he's not, you know, one of us.
So,
and he can dribble with his left hand.
Dribble with the left hand.
That's the most important part, actually.
I said this to Joseph. This Celtics team might have been whiter than the 80s Celtics. There's a case between Hauser, Gallinari, Pritchard, who else? Cornette and Muscala. So you could have, if Gallinari was healthy, Lindo, seen the all-white lineup.
Bobby's bringing back that whites-only water fountain.
That's wild. That's crazy.
I want to ask Taylor.
Yes.
Because I haven't gotten your thoughts on it yet.
Yes.
After what we saw from Brown in the East Finals, $50 million coming. 300 total. You're kind of locked into this core at this point, Tatum and Brown. What are you going to do this summer? You're just going to give them the contract and
What would the alternative be? You just don't consider it and trade him? Because
I think you have to trade him. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So it's either offer him the contract or trade him. And I don't, because it's not like Brad's going to call him into a meeting and offer him less. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't think he would accept that in any way, and I think that would make it. I think that would make it worse if they offered him less than a supermax contract, and so my first inclination is that, like, you know, despite this year how it ended, last year how it ended, Jaylen Brown's 26, Jason Tatum's 25, and you don't get two players like that drafted back to back years who reach all NBA level by this age. That just doesn't happen. So if there's a world where you think you can move forward with those two, then I think that's the opportunity you need to go with. I don't like the idea of just trading Jaylen Brown to trade Jaylen Brown. If he comes to the team and he's like, hey, I want the Supermax, or I'm sorry, if he comes to the team and says he's not signing the Supermax, then you have to trade him. But my first inclination before we're even into the summer really is to try to keep them both and build around that. Now, I know with the new CBA, it gets a little hard, especially having two guys who are going to be on that type of contract. So if that's what you're thinking, then obviously you have to think about the future, the distant future as well as the immediate future. But my first inclination is to keep both of them together for as long as you can keep them together.
The problem with moving Jaylen Brown is you just won't get someone as good as he is now. And even with the comment that's like, go for that three pick, like what the Trailblazers are offering, you're just hoping that three pick could maybe one day be Jaylen Brown. You already have him. So the idea that you're going to try and just move him just because is kind of silly, when the only thing that you're going to be looking for is, how do we replace him? You might as well keep him.
I think the issue is that, if we're being honest, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum don't complement each other on the court.
That's what I'm saying.
So
they play too similar.
So to your point, Zay, about how do you replace Jaylen Brown, you already did Jason Tatum. you need someone who plays well with Jason Tatum, who can give you a similar production to Jaylen Brown. Who that is, I don't know. If I'm thinking back 2 years ago, maybe the Celtics should have traded Jaylen Brown for Tyrese Halliburton.
It's amazing what you could have done 2 years ago.
AD.
A year ago, you could have done Kevin Durant.
You need so no, that doesn't work either because they won't complement each other either. Jason Tatum and KD, they're both scorers who, they're both scorers. You need a playmaker. You need a real playmaking player who can get Jason Tatum open shots. That's what you need.
What about LaMelo? What if they tried to go get LaMelo?
That actually is valid.
Are you a no on that, Taylor?
That actually
on LaMelo Ball?
Yeah.
No, I don't want LaMelo Ball. I think the most enticing thing to me, and I don't know if this is crazy or not, but based on how I feel, it would be if you can get like something like Simons in the 3 pick from Portland with other parts moving in and around.
I'm warming up to that a little bit too.
I don't think Portland is giving up Simons. I don't know where that's coming from.
But I saw today.
But you can't get Brown if you're not giving him.
Yeah, what are they going to give up? They're not getting it for just number 3.
I think they believe that the number 3 pick is at least the
rumors on Twitter today. The rumors on Twitter today was that Shaedon Sharpe is untouchable, and I think that, like we talked about earlier,
and I'm fine with that if they don't want to give up Sharpe.
Oh, I fully understandable, but I think that if Lillard, because this is the first time Lillard's really entertained, even jokingly, the trade talks, yeah. Right? So if they feel the pressure to keep him, it's like, all right, we can trade for Jaylen Brown. But I think that Simons in the 3 pick, so you think about it, it's Simons and Scoot or Simons and Brandon Miller.
You know what it is, and I don't love that trade, but if you're the Celtics and you say, that's interesting. And you sit there if you're the Blazers and go, all right, we can get a star next to Lillard.
Well, exactly, and that's what I'm thinking. And especially because I think you could tie Pritchard to that. And obviously, I'm not saying
that you can make it a bigger trade, yeah, chip
or whatever. But like, I think there's a bunch of stuff that works there. But I'm still leaning like I want Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the same team for as long as they can be.
And there's something I don't love about rookie Tatum, Simons, Smart, all those guards. Then you have to move a guard. So yeah, I think you're a little worse off in the short term. But as we argued earlier on the Garn Report, do you have to start setting yourself up for the long term a little bit? A team that's more complimentary, as you said, around Tatum.
You would have to fully decide that Tatum is, and he already is, and it's been decided. But you have to fully, like, no questions about it. Be like, Jason Tatum is the middle of everything, and everything is built around him. And there isn't any of this, like, we have 3 guards with redundant skills. We have an aging big who still kind of feels like the heart of the team along with Smart. Like, you have to make these decisions to be like, Tatum is the front of all this, and there's no question about it.
You don't want to change.
I think if you make the decision that Tatum is the guy, you have to trade Jaylen Brown because their skills are redundant.
That's what I'm saying, is if they traded Jaylen, you have to sell out and be like,
I think
this is the, and he's that good. And like, I'm never going to argue. I think sometimes I almost wish that had happened earlier. Maybe it happened differently so that there wasn't this like strange feeling of like, I don't know whose game this is going to be, when really it's like, when it comes down to it, we've seen it over and over again. Like, the structure needs to be like they go 8 possessions in a row without Tatum touching the ball in the playoffs.
And all like, the games where Brown gets lost after scorching starts.
And right. I think that's because they're trying to find Tatum too much in those situations.
I was looking at this. This is a nice parallel, actually. And I know their games are different. But if you look at how much Tatum and Brown pass to each other, it's gone up over the years. Like, you know, it's about 9 each way. But it's like 1 assist to each other per game. And then I'm looking at Jokic and Murray, and it's like 30 passes each way each game, 2.5 assists or more each game to each other. But it doesn't seem like a huge difference, but it's double. And that's so, like,
what happens when you have 2 players that complement each other?
Yeah,
no, exactly. Yeah, they're set up to work with each other. And I mean, it's almost like Jaylen passed the point of being, because for a while it was like, all right, he's going to be 3 and D, which probably fits better. But he almost got like, he almost got like, in a way, too good for them to complement each other, because they both can do so much of the same stuff at a high level, where it's like, because it's not just like, because for a while in the beginning, it was like, all right, Jaylen's going to play great defense and he's going to shoot 3s. And now it's like, well, no, I mean, he can go. He's second team All NBA.
Yeah, and he was great this year, but so much of it was just individual play. And that's what we've been talking about over the years is my turn, your turn, and playmaking, and guys connecting, and ball control, and all that stuff that's hurt them late in the game. So, I mean, we all want something to change after what we just watched. We all want something to improve, but you don't want to just make a trade just for making a trade, especially if there's nothing good out there. And you wonder if you take a step back with Simons, and a rookie is a complete unknown, even someone as bonafide as Scoot right now. And Scoot might go number two if you do this trade. And then where you, Brandon Miller, I don't love
that. Then I feel
him.
Like you have a similar issue if Brandon Miller becomes what he's supposed to, where you have another situation where it's like this wing player.
Are these Thompson twins who probably need a little bit of development here. So I don't love going to rookies. I don't love going young. We watched that in 2021 with Romeo and Pritchard and Neesmith and all these guys. Those are more bona fide rookies, but it's going to be a tough call. I do want to play some trivia before we get out of here. Lindo's got some names lined up. Our buddy Shep, who's been dominating, isn't here, so I think we got an open field.
He's at the Sigma.
he's playing Uno. Yeah. Visit athleticgreens.com/guardian, get your supply of vitamin D, 5 free travel packs. They're sponsoring trivia, I guess, tonight.
this is like inside the NBA when Ernie actually has a sponsor.
75 vitamins, minerals, adaptogens, probiotics. You put in your water each morning and you get pretty much all the things you need for your health in there with a great tropical flavor. That's athleticgreens.com/guardian. Your supply of vitamin D, 5 free travel packs when you head over there. All right, Lindo, what do you got for us?
How many names you want, Bobby? How many names we got?
You guys got time for four?
Yeah.
All right. Number one. Let's see if the chat gets it before us, too. You guys can play as well.
Okay. This guy is an NBA champion. He's 5-time first team, 1-time second team, was rookie of the year, played for the Warriors, Nets, and Rockets. He was drafted number 2 overall.
What year?
1965.
I'm out.
Warriors, Nets, and Rockets?
Yep.
Is it Rick Barry?
That's Rick Barry.
Hey.
Nate, do some of your history.
Man.
Nate's knowledge goes back to like 2011. Oh, he's gone. He can't even respond to that. All right, Lindo, next name.
This guy is an NBA champion. He was All-NBA third team. Is a 1-time All-Star. He played for the Bulls, Kings, Rockets, and Knicks, among other teams. Who is he?
1-time champion?
1-time champion.
Bulls, Rockets, Knicks.
Kings.
Bulls, Rockets, Knicks.
2-time all-defensive first team. 2-time all-defensive second team.
What year was he drafted?
99.
Bulls, Rockets, Knicks. 1 championship. Would have had to be with the Bulls, Rockets, Knicks, Kings.
Hang on, if he was drafted in 99, how did he win a championship if he was on Bulls, Kings, Rockets, Knicks?
It might have been with a team he didn't mention.
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know that was part of this.
You looking at the chat, Linda? Anyone in there got it?
No, Oak is too early. Fun fact, Oak went to Virginia Union, and my dad was his RA.
All right.
Since you guys are stuck, the other two teams, it's going to be a race. The other two teams that he played for were the Pacers and Lakers.
Pacers and Lakers. So he won the title with the Lakers. It's not Trevor Ariza, is it? No.
He was the defensive player of the year.
Wasn't Lamar Odom, was it?
Nope.
He didn't have defensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year.
Come on, think of those last two I just said.
Tyson Chandler?
No.
No, you didn't say Mavs.
Our test?
It's our test.
He played for those teams?
Yes.
Damn, he was all over. How'd the chat beat us to it? It was K Barboza, Meta World Peace.
That's correct.
All right.
Two more. Bobby's killing it. Bobby knows he's got. Where's you guys?
No, no, no. The chat got it. That wasn't me.
Oh, okay. All right. You ready for number three?
Yes.
This guy was drafted in 95, selected by the Kings, played for the Kings, Raptors, Pistons, 76ers. He's an NBA champion, an NCAA champion, was the most outstanding player in the NCAA Final Four, and was an NBA Sixth Man of the Year. Who is
King? Name the teams again.
Kings, Raptors, Pistons, 76ers.
That's all the teams.
Yeah.
We got some names coming in the chat. What year was he drafted?
95.
By the Kings?
By the Kings.
It's not Vlade?
Nope.
Not Bibby?
What's the clue again?
95, selected by the Kings, played for Kings, Raptors, Pistons, 76ers, NBA champion, NCAA champion, Sixth Man of the Year.
Oof. Lou Williams?
Nope.
Jamal 95? Crawford?
95?
Yep.
Sixth Man of the Year.
Jamal Crawford?
No.
Nate Robinson?
Stojakovic?
I'm just shooting six men.
I'm seeing Danielle Marshall.
Oh, are you reading the comments, Bobby?
Yeah.
Then it's over. They guessed it minutes ago. It was Corliss Williamson.
Yeah, I was gonna. Yeah, when they said that, I was like, I saw enough people say that.
The chat's up 2-1 on me. All right, let's see if I can tie it.
Okay, you ready, Nate? You ready, Taylor?
Nate Taylor, get on the board.
It's tough. I didn't even know we were doing trivia. I came in here just with my think. I left my thinking cap in the car.
What cap are you wearing right now?
Seinfeld.
Shep would be 3-0 if
you're thinking about nothing. Cap.
The chat's googling. I'm accusing them of cheating.
Yeah, somebody even said it. The chat's googling. Okay, this guy was drafted by the Spurs. Didn't play for him. He played for the Suns, the Raptors, the Pacers, Celtics, Warriors. He's an NBA champion and Sixth Man of the Year.
Suns, Raptors, Pacers, Warriors. So he would have won with the Barbosa. Celtics?
That's correct, Nate.
Oh! Let's How'd go. He do it? He I won knew- with the Warriors, right?
Once I heard Suns and Warriors, Leandro Barbosa.
He was a great one.
He was.
That's trivia. We'll have some more next week. Make sure to join us. Appreciate these guys for being here. We're going to do this every Wednesday. This is our group chat. Taylor McLeod, Nate Sperlin, they both host the Cap Podcast. Go check that out. Appreciate you all here in the chat, too. Go subscribe to their channel. They do a great music podcast over there. I'll throw that in the description as well. Windows A, our good friend down there, graduated from Texas A&M. Congrats to him.
Howdy.
And game four is on Friday, right?
Yeah.
We'll see if the series is over or if we get a real one. It's kind of been back and forth so far. And we'll be back here on Dome Theory on Friday. Interviews on Friday. I don't have a guest yet, but we're going to get one tomorrow probably and be ready to go on Friday. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, it's gonna be Kyrie. Spotify. Yeah, it's gonna be Kyrie.
So what? In what tone did Bron say that he'd think about it when you asked him to join the Mavericks?
So when you tried to recruit the man who's like a father figure to you, LeBron James,
That's one of the wildest questions in NBA history. They really asked him if he was a father figure to Kyrie. That is the wildest, one of the wildest questions I've ever heard.
You could, the way Kyrie's been tweeting lately, you could get an interview with him on Twitter if you'd like. But yeah, so I don't the whole think app could crash.
We'll be reaching out.
Yeah. Lindo, Nate, Taylor, this is Dome Theory. Subscribe. Like I said, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Now we're rolling. We're back. Finals 2-1 Heat. Gotta win on Friday, I think, or this run's over. And we will talk to you then. See you guys.